You're invited to join me in the real deal. Well, you'll learn how to own that remodeling job and get paid what you're worth. This is my signature two-day training for serious interior designers who want to bring consistently high-profit remodeling jobs into their business. For complete information and tickets, go to interiordesignbusinessacademy.com. See you there. I'm Terry Taylor, and this is the Interior Design Business Academy podcast. As an interior designer, you may be thinking, I love what I do, but I am so overworked and underpaid. Let me tell you, I've been there too. I spent many years learning from my own mistakes and developing proven strategies and systems to make interior design a profitable career while keeping it fun and creative. So now, I'm here to help you get paid what you're worth. If you're ready for some straight talk about how design business really works, and you're ready to break through old belief systems that are holding you back and shift into beliefs that support your goals and bring lasting success, you are in the right place. Networking doesn't work. You don't need to do that. It's just a waste of time. No, that's not true. I made that headline up so you would open up and listen to this, because I'm afraid if I said how important networking is, you'd go, I don't want to listen to that, and walk away. But the truth is, networking is the most important thing that you can do for building your design business. It's the best, it's the fastest, it's the most critical way to gain clients and connections and partners that will refer business to you. Okay? And before you go, oh no, and shut me down and not listen anymore, stick with it a little bit longer. Let me talk about this, and we'll walk you through this, because it's not hard. It actually can be fun, okay? And there's a system attached to it. There's a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all right? So let me tell you about this. So you need to know that everywhere you go, where you're with and meeting people and connecting, that's networking, okay? So it can be fun things. It doesn't have to be hanging out with a bunch of old guys who are guzzling drinks and hitting on you while you're trying to get some business. That's not it. That's not it at all. Okay. So get rid of that story. I know there's a lot of, there's a lot of bad energy around networking about how awful this is, how terrible it is, but you have to get out from behind your computer. Trust me, in order to make your business happen. You're not going to develop it solely from doing Instagrams and, you know, posting stuff in social media. Doesn't work. Okay. That's a support piece that's really important to do. And it's part of the whole marketing package. But the beginning of this, the beginning of getting clients, comes from making more contacts and getting referrals. Okay. Because we all know that referrals are the way to go. Often when I talk to designers, they say, oh, I don't do any marketing. It's always been referral-based. Well, referrals are marketing, okay? Sometimes designers are really good at it and don't realize they are and have actually developed this without even thinking about it. Some of us need to think about it in order to get that to happen. So it's not impossible. It's not hard, and it's not icky, all right? It's none of those things. It's just something that you need to be doing in order to develop your business and get the kind of clients that you actually want, okay? So we got to give up on that bad story and realize that there's more out there, okay, for you, that this can work out really well, okay? And realize that everything you do is a networking opportunity. I mean, it's standing around, soccer mom, standing around with your kids, with the game. Who's there? Who are you talking to? What's happening? You know, there's amazing connections there. I worked with somebody in Scottsdale some years ago whose son went to a private school there that, you know, 90% of her clients were coming from those school events and people she met and people she knew through that. Okay. It's about building relationships. Okay. So it could be, you know, the moms you talk to when your daughter's at dance practice, like I did, right? Or you could be at your workout. Okay. What do? Play tennis, play golf, yoga, you know, weightlifting. I mean, all those places you meet people and connect to people and talk to them, that's networking. Okay. That is networking, right? So parties and gatherings are great networking spots. Okay. And then you could be more intentional about it if you wanted and actually choose to network and specifically for networking purposes and choose something like a women's business group that does a luncheon every month. And you sit down at the table with 12 women you've never met before and you exchange cards and get to know them and create relationships. Okay. The marketing is all about relationships. It's not about asking people for business. It's about building relationship, letting people know who you are, what you do, and how you can help them. I mean, you could get as specific as join a BNI group, which is all about leads and that sort of thing. That's when you're getting really specific about it. But all of that stuff counts, okay? I'm going to start with that. The second piece is that there's a system for this, okay? There's a system to how you do it. And once you drop into the system, it's just kind of a wash, rinse, and repeat situation. So not hard to do, okay? Pretty easy. And the deal here is that when you meet somebody, you don't immediately pitch them for business, okay? That's not how it's done, okay? If you notice how guys do it on the golf course, for instance, they'll play golf together, team up, meet somebody, have a drink afterwards in the bar, and they'll do that two or three times, and then they'll actually do a deal together. Big stuff happens that way because they've established the relationship. So what I want you to know is you're not going out and asking people for business. You're going out and building relationships with people who could be connected to your ideal client. Okay? The idea is to plant seeds, okay? And when you plant the seeds, you don't harvest them in the same day, right? So you have to let them grow. And that's speaking to the idea of, I talk to designers often who said, oh, yeah, I went out networking. I talked to this contractor and told him I'd like to work with him, and he hasn't sent me any business, so I'm not going to do this anymore. I quit. All right. Okay. It's not that linear. First of all, you don't go straight out and ask for the business. You develop a relationship with the guy. Okay. All right. Once you have a relationship, then when something pops up, he automatically thinks of you and invites you in. That's how it works. Okay. So keep that in mind when we're talking about this. This is about planting the seeds of relationship and nurturing them and then, you know, pulling in the harvest later on, which, and it works really, really well if you do it that way. Now, I need you to know that you're looking to connect with just a few people, not everybody in the group, okay? You know, get stuck with that. I used to get this idea that I was supposed to go in there and talk to everybody in there and introduce myself and work the room. I can't do that. I'm an introvert, right? So I'm not going to do that. I can, however, go to an event and meet a few people, and those people inevitably introduce me to other people, and we exchange cards, da, da, da. And after I have a little handful of cards, I'm done. I could be out of there if I want. Okay. It's not this long, drawn out killer thing. It's something that's pretty easy. But the idea here is that you're looking for people who would know your ideal client. Okay. It's not likely that when you go out and intentionally network or go to a party or something, that you're going to be at the country club where those clients are. Okay. They have their space and we have ours and it's all fine. We don't need to be there. You don't need to be a member of the country club to get those people in your list, but you do need to figure out who they know, like, and trust so that you could have a relationship with them so they could refer you in. Okay. We're talking about, you know, dropping the pebble in the pond and making the circles bigger and bigger and bigger. And the more drops in the pond and the more circles you have, the more connections and the more referrals you get. Right? That's what we're looking for. So the idea here is that when you go networking, it's not likely that you meet your ideal client. It's possible. Okay. Entirely possible. On the golf course, perhaps, or on a tennis court. Yeah. Who knows? Or at a party. It could happen. But for the most part, you're looking for somebody who has one degree of separation, right? Who does your ideal client know, like, and trust? Often those are the contractor that they're working for that built their house, or the realtor who sold them the house, perhaps their insurance agent, perhaps their hairdresser, or perhaps their workout coach, Or, you know, depends on who your ideal client is, because you got to do that work first and get defined on who it is you're looking for. When you define who they are and where they hang out and all about them, then you can figure out who would know them. Okay. Because that's who you're going after in these, in this marketing thing. So that's an important piece to remember, that, that we're looking for that, that 1 or 2 degrees of separation from this ideal client and in going after this larger circle of people who would know them. Okay. So, you know, the other piece in there is it's a very important that you can quickly and easily and successfully say who your ideal client is, how you would identify them, and what the problem is you solve, and why your solution's so cool, okay? And you need to do it in about 30 seconds, okay? You need to think about this ahead of time and figure out how you're going to say it. It's called an elevator speech, you know, in the marketing jargon, something that we do a whole workshop on in here at IDBA, so that we really get really clear on that, because it's really the base of all your marketing statements and website and all the stuff that gets built off of that. But this idea of who is it, right? And you got to be concrete about who it is, because, you know, if you say to someone, well, my clients are people who have good taste and make decisions quickly and want me to do everything. Well, okay, that's fine. I'm sure those are all good traits, right? We'd all like that. However, that's not identifiable. That's not something that the person you're talking to could identify in anybody else. But if you said that your clients were high net worth people who have no time and their house looks like they came out of grad school, that they're not going to know who that is. Okay. And if they know who that is, they're going to say, oh my gosh, give me a card. You need to talk to my friend, Cindy, something like that. Okay. So that's what we're after there. So that elevator speech work where you're really clear about, you know, who it is, who to identify the client and the problem you solve, what do you do for them, and why is your solution so cool, really quickly, is very, very important so that you get your message across very, very fast. Now, the thing that you absolutely don't want to do, okay, ready, drum roll for this one, do not say, I'm an interior designer, okay. That is not a business. That's a job. Okay. It's a profession. And if you say that, the reaction you get is, oh, that's so cool. Oh, I've always wanted to do that. I think that would be so cool. It's so yummy. You know what? Would you let me follow you around? You know, you wouldn't have to pay me much. I could be your assistant. Da, da, da. Yeah. How often have you gotten that when you say, I'm an interior designer? Okay. That's not the answer you want in a networking situation. That's not what you're looking for. You want to introduce yourself as a business owner, okay, who works with these kinds of people. Okay, you see the difference? Okay, you're not a massage therapist or a hairdresser looking for one client. You're proposing that you are the owner of this business that does this thing, and you'll get an entirely different response from people, entirely different response. So that's a really important thing to remember, and I'm sure many of you have said that before and gotten that kind of response and gone, oh, no, that's not. No. That's not what I want. All right. So be a business owner and get really clear about what you're going to say. You practice it ahead of time so it comes out of your mouth easily. All right. Okay. Now, there is a system to this. Let me share with you what the system is and how it works. Okay. And it is a system. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Right. Number one, we're going to call be a joiner. Okay. What I mean is join everything you can find. Okay. Whatever kind of group, whatever shows up, don't think about it. Just jump in and say yes and go to a meeting or two. Now, I'm not saying go to a meeting or two and then join it and stay there for a year and going, oh, these people are terrible. They're not helping me. I'm saying join them for a meeting or two to see who they are. Don't make a commitment. Right. Just get in and see who they are. And if those people appear to be the people that your ideal client would know, like, and trust, great. Stay. Okay. If they're not, you're out immediately. Okay. You just decline it. Right. The more of these groups, the more of these spots you drop into and take a look at, the faster you're going to get there. It's kind of like finding the ideal chair, right? You're not going to spend a lot of time looking at one and trying to make it into something it isn't, right? You're going to keep looking till you hit the one you want, okay? Just like that, Okay. And it's fine. You can do that. It's not rude. It's not wrong. And there's nothing wrong with it. You just say, I want to try it out. Let's see who it is. And then decline it. Say, you know what? I don't think this is quite a fit for me. Okay. However, you know, you just keep running through those, like finding the chair. Sooner or later, you're going to land on one and go, wow, that's really cool. That's it. I got it. That's the one you're going to join. Okay. All right. So that's the philosophy there. Then once you're there, you want to be curious. Be curious about people. Okay. Who are they? Pick out in the group who the people you're curious about. You know, you may not want to talk to every single person in there. Maybe you just want to talk to the one you're curious about. That's cool. That's fine. But when you meet somebody and you talk to them, you want to talk about them. Okay. You want to ask questions about them because people are always happy to talk about themselves. In fact, they're excited to talk about themselves. You know that, right? So just keep feeding it. Just get them to talk to you. You'll hit all. Okay. That's that building relationship part. And at some point, they're going to ask you what you do, and you can use your elevator speech to explain that. And if they want to know more, keep going. It's all great. Okay. That's what we're going. We're building a relationship. We're not asking for business. Not yet. It's not time yet. You got to get that connection first before that would ever happen. Okay. So this is where you'd use your elevator speech. It would be very succinct. This is who it is. Very often, if you do your elevator speech well, the reaction you'll get is, oh my gosh, you know, give me your card. I want to give this to my sister, or to my cousin, or my friend, my neighbor, or what, you know, my client, whatever that is. And you would exchange cards. Okay. And exchange cards with everyone. It's a business thing to do. Okay. And you know, gee, can I have your card? And you give them theirs and keep it. Okay. And keep that card because that's another email for your list. Right. Okay. So you're just meeting people and connecting and exchanging. Okay. Now, step number three then is to follow up. Okay. Very often we do one and two and then we just drop it and go, well, nothing happened. Well, you know, it takes a little more energy and focus to make it roll, but not a lot, but some. You need to follow up on every single one of those. Anybody you took a card from, you need to follow up with a little message that says, gee, it was fun to meet you. I hope we could do something together sometime, da-da-da-da-da. Okay? That kind of message is generic. You could have it written ahead of time. So that when you come back from one of these events and you have a stack of cards and you have 10 emails to send out, you do one to each one of those and use your preset message that you've already written. You just cut and paste it in and bang, 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 out they go. And if you have an assistant, you could give it to your assistant to do once you've written that little piece. All right. Could be used over and over again. Now there's another level of person you meet while you're networking who appears to be more valuable than the basic one. Okay. And I forgot one thing. In the basic one, you always want to save that email to your email list. Okay. A lot of you, when you come to me and I say, how many is on your list? And you say, I don't have a list. You need a list. Okay. You collect all the emails that you could possibly get. Email is still king in terms of computer-based marketing, and we're going to get into that later on. So what you want to do is just start an Excel spreadsheet and get all these names and emails on it. Okay, all your clients, all your reps, anybody you can find, and then everybody you ever meet that you get a card from gets on that list. Okay, it's the beginning of your email marketing, which is really, really important. Okay, so now let's talk about the next level. This is step three in here. And that is, there are a few people that you met along the way who are very good partners, probably, okay? Because they're working with the same kind of client that you are, okay? And that is your connection point. So to them, you would send a follow-up email that says, gosh, it was so fun to meet you. It sounds like we're working with the same clients. I'd love to sit down and have coffee with you. And let's see how we can help each other. Just like that. Okay. I didn't ask for business, right? I asked for an exchange of helping each other. Okay. So you see where I'm going with this? It's not as direct as you want to make this to be. It's about building relationships. Okay. And you get a response back that goes, yeah, that'd be great. Then you can come back with, here's a couple times what worked for me. What about you? Okay. And you set up a time and you go meet them. And what you're going to say to them, you're not going to make an offer. You're not going to give them what you think they need because you don't know what they need, right? You really don't. And when you try to make that up ahead of time, it's always wrong. Trust me, right? So you have to ask. So when you meet them, you want to just talk about how can we help each other? Talk about what your businesses are, how you do it, how they might connect. How could you help each other? What could I do for you that would help your business? There is a thing about humans and reciprocity. And you know how if somebody invites you to a party, then you feel obligated to invite them to your party? Okay. Same thing's happening there. Right. So if you offer to help someone and do something, they feel there's this basic human obligation, so to speak, to help you in return. Okay. Now, do it 100%? Yeah, no, but pretty close. I mean, it's kind of inbred into who we are. Okay. And you're going to use that as part of this dance you're doing with them. So this whole follow-up piece is really important because now when you're sitting there talking to them for half an hour for coffee, it shouldn't be a long thing, right? And find out who their clients are. Find out where their trouble spots are. Find out what's happening about their business. What are they doing? That sort of thing. Now, another piece I want to throw out there in if you're going to a networking event where there's somebody there that you really want to meet, okay, like contractor, a builder that you'd really, really like to work for, an architect, something like that, great, okay? Make sure that you meet him, okay, or her. And ask that person about them. You know, don't talk about you because it's not about you. You want to go to them and say, hey, I saw that house you built at Hidden Hills on Brown Street. That was fabulous. I walked through that during construction and that was stunning. I'd love to work on a project like that with you. Then your design focus is so similar to mine. Something like that, okay, that's complimentary and opens a conversation. That's how you talk to these people that you want to work with. Okay. You start a relationship and you start that relationship by admiring them, what it is they're doing and what it is you admire about them. That's so cool. Okay. So remember that piece because that's important. Okay. And then the number five piece is stay in touch. After you've done these coffees, connected with people, stay in touch. Then you can use email to check in and go, hey, how are you doing? What's going on? I got a few spaces coming up if you send anybody my way. That kind of thing. Very loose, general, soft connections where you can say that you're available and open for business if they want to refer. But it's very indirect and very soft, and they get it because the idea is that you need to stay top of mind because most referrals, when you call somebody, they don't have the job for you now. It's like calling, trying to get published. It's not the time, right? Your timing isn't right. However, occasionally your timing is right. You're right. And then they're going to say, oh, because you're top of mind and you're up front in their head, when the opportunity comes up, then they say, oh, you know what? You need to try Mary. She does da, 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 da. I think she'd be really good for you. Okay. That's how those situations work. And it's because you stay top of mind. Now, how do you stay top of mind? Well, you call them up every now and then and check in just briefly. You might see them at an event. You be sure to check in, talk a little briefly. Okay, they're an acquaintance. Acknowledge it, right? Keep coming up. Keep being in front of them. It can be by email, right? You can do that. It's the reason why we do newsletters, the reason why we have an email list so we could do newsletters, so that we stay top of mind with everybody who knows us, so that when our ideal client, and now they know who our ideal client is, when that person pops up, they think of us and we get the referral. Okay? That's how it works. And then it's just rinse and repeat after that. Wash, rinse, repeat. Wash, rinse, repeat. Right? You just keep doing it. And generally, it's not something you do when you're desperate for business. It's something that you do every Tuesday afternoon on your work on my business block of time. You call three people. It's that easy. And you have a list. You just go down the list and check in, leave a message, however you're going to do it. But it's not time consuming. It just takes focus. And when you do that, you end up with a ton of referrals, tons of them. Okay. So, remember to follow up. Remember to keep following up. And remember that you're looking to build relationships. Okay. Connect with people who know your ideal client and your ideal client knows, likes, and trusts them. because that's where those good referrals come from. And, you know, when somebody refers a client into your business, you're not competing with anybody usually, right? It's your job. I mean, you're not even have to scramble for it. It's yours. So these are the very best ways to get clients because they're already programmed to love you because the person that they know, like, and trust loves you. Okay. That's how that works. So plant the seeds, water them continuously and consistently, and then reap the harvest. Okay. That's how it works. So until next time, design something beautiful and get paid what you're worth. Bye. I hope you enjoyed today's episode of Interior Design Business Podcast. If you love what you're learning, head over to interiordesignbusinessacademy.com and book a clarity call. This is the perfect way to chat with one of our coaches about where you are in your business and what your next best step needs to be to make your design business profitable and enjoyable. As always, you can head over to interiordesignbusinessacademy.com to check out the links and resources from this episode. So until next week, design something beautiful and get paid what you're worth.